This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Well, good morning. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we are on the last day, day four, Magic Live here in Las Vegas at the Orleans Hotel and Casino. And we're standing in line ready for the general session. I'm here with Mel Kintz, who you might better know as the fellow who puts out this Magic Live. What is it?
Magician's Life.
And if you're not on his list, then you should be, and we'll tell you how to do that in a minute. But first of all, good morning. How are you, Mel? Fantastic. We were just talking about last night's evening show. So tell people what you thought about the Magic Cabaret.
The Magic Cabaret, although it really wasn't cabaret, I mean, I was expecting something else, but I was pleasantly surprised to see Mark do his thing.
What was his name?
Mark
Haslam.
And I think he's from Los Angeles.
Well, not originally.
British. And best piece of theater I have seen in I don't know how long in Magic. I really wanted to buy a theater and have him come in and go do it.
And just do that, yeah.
Yeah, I would just love that. What was it
that impressed you the most about it? I mean, people were saying, well, yeah, good, but why was it good?
Okay, it's real theater. The presentation,
one-man
show with graphics and video, and you know I like graphics.
Yep, and it was high quality, high def. Oh. Also, I thought the camera work on his hands when he did the cards.
I loved it because it had this auto focus on the so when he raises the card up, it stays in focus the whole thing. I mean, it was just mind blowing.
Yeah,
just great.
And it wasn't like he had the thing. Obviously, it was memorized, but it was just like a theater in which that he had no hesitation in his presentation. He spoke slowly.
Every word was perfect, and the timing was great.
No wasted effort, no wasted words.
I wasted a lot of effort trying to figure out how he did some of the stuff.
Well, that one thing I thought was pretty cool, where he had a volunteer sign her initials on the edge of the deck, and then it was a shuffled deck to begin with, and then he put it back into new deck order, and then started putting them all back after he'd memorized supposedly the order. So he put back, and you had the.
You mean supposedly?
Okay.
So. Oh my God! when the final. Oh, I shouldn't give away the final part, but when he does put it together with all the cards spread out on the table, and then he puts the deck right back to where it was originally.
And not shuffling. He picks up
each card individually to music, to a drum beat or.
It just built
the tension, which was perfect for theater, and it was amazing.
So it sounds like it was a highlight for you of the convention.
It was worth the price of admission.
Just to see him in that show.
To see him do that show.
I'm glad I got to see that show, too, because it was not billed. Well, none of this stuff has really been hyped or built up.
Stan never does, does he?
Nothing more than the other, because they're all... Right. You know, yesterday, I know we had Matt Franco, who was... the MC, for the thing, and so, and then with Copperfield and Penn Jillette and everybody else, that gave great presentations.
Yeah,
and the museum last
Master
night.
Payne
always kills us.
I live to see his presentation on.
On anything, a PowerPoint presentation.
PowerPoint. See, I'm old. I can't remember words now.
Well, but you are a wordsmith, and well, you steal other words. With the Magician's Life, you find these wonderful articles and repost them, and you put a few graphics. Tell people about what it is you do and how they can get on your mailing list.
Magician's Life is really a clipping service for magicians. Mm-hmm. I get up in the morning, I go through all of the Googles and all of the Yahoos and all of the, I find the most interesting article that has to do with magic. It could be a historical piece, it could be a piece about a local magician that is printed on the internet, and I'll lift the whole thing using fair use, and I'll... course, do credit to where it came from and who wrote it.
Because you can always click there to see the source.
Right, source material.
And this is a daily thing that comes
daily. I've been doing it for about 9 years, so that's 9 times 365 is...
A lot.
That's a lot.
So this is obviously for the love of it. I mean,
yes.
I mean, you're getting paid nothing.
No.
This. Yeah.
No, I don't get paid for any of it.
How long does it take you to actually put those things together?
I get up in the morning. I look for the piece. Actually, on a work day, I'll go into my regular job early. Look for a piece, reformat it, takes me about 10 to 20 minutes or whatever it is. I'll put it into my database, I'll go into the lunchroom, hit the button, pour myself a cup of coffee, and by the time I get back, I've sent out hundreds of emails to...
How many are currently on your
distribution list? It's a guarded secret.
But a lot.
There's quite a few, and it doesn't go... I don't give the list to anybody.
Right.
So
it's a private list.
It's
So if you subscribe, you don't have to worry about getting spam or whatever.
That's right.
Absolutely. This is not spam. These are legitimate articles. Really,
right.
Really cool.
Right.
You do a great job.
Thank you very much.
Well,
you're a gentleman and a scholar.
Well, I will talk with you more often then.
Yeah,
if you
well,
continue
there are
to
few
keep
of us
compliments.
Yes,
great. The Self-Adulation Society over
yes,
here.
Yes, that's it. Well, we've known each other for quite a few years.
Yes,
so.
We have. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying the convention. Thanks for your comments over here.
You're welcome. Have a good one today.
Thank you. And for the Magic great. Live, that was Mel Kintz. This is Scotty out. All right, well, we're standing in line that we were talking about some other shows and things happening around Vegas, and so if you're going to be coming to Las Vegas, that Mark Ginther has a suggestion.
My wife, my son, and I went and saw Xavier Mortimer and his show at Planet Hollywood, Magical Dreams.
Because he used to be in the Michael Jackson show.
Right, he was in the one show.
And just kind of did some variety of pieces.
Yes, and this is a Cirque du Soleil show as well. It's at Planet Hollywood. It's essentially a one-man show, but he has a female that's interwoven through the dreams too, a young lady. It's a very talented dancer. But it's just a unique combination of magic, mime, music, juggling, lights. It's wonderful. It's funny. It's even got some audience participation.
Yep.
And it's a small, intimate theater, and everyone had a great time. I highly recommend it.
I'm glad you said that, because I have not seen that, but I spoke with someone who gave me an alternate point of view and saying he didn't like it because he felt like that Xavier didn't break that fourth wall, because in the show he was in, he didn't feel like that the audience was reacting soon enough because, I guess he has a little bit of an accent and some people may have had some issue trying to understand what he was saying, but more importantly, it really was an artistic, in some ways abstract kind of concept, and some people didn't understand that. But that being said, afterwards it's like, hey, he liked it, but it wasn't the best show. But I've talked with four of the people who said it was fantastic, you ought to go see it. So I've only heard one dissenting. I just want to say that for anybody who's listening, because some people don't like the Blue Man Group. I love the Blue Man Group. I've seen them six times. Others are saying it's too artistic, too crazy, I don't like it. But I think Xavier may fall in that same category. Do you think? No, what do you think?
If that's true, it's going to be the 80-20 where 80% love it and maybe 20% have trouble with it.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but I...
But you would highly recommend it.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's on the Strip. Tell me again, which hotel is it?
Planet Hollywood.
Planet Hollywood. And is it an evening show?
It was a 7 o'clock show.
Okay. Interesting. Well, good. Mark, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Good advice.
You're welcome.
People are always looking for things to do. Did you see any other shows or anything right here?
It wasn't a magic show. We did go see Love, the Cirque du Soleil production that has the Beatles music.
Yeah.
Another wonderful feast for the eyes and the ears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another good recommendation. Thank you very much. That was Mark Ginther giving you some Las Vegas tourist tips. Thanks again. This is Scotty out. All right, Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we're in the general session, getting ready to begin here in just a few minutes, but sitting next to me now is Simon Aronson. Hi there, Simon.
Hello there. How are you doing?
Fantastic. And this is the fourth and final day, so we've had 3 days, including the Sunday night party, and there have been a lot of, I think, highlights people have told me, but everyone's got their own favorite thing. What have you enjoyed? What do you like?
Well, it's so different and so many different things, hard to compare. I certainly liked one of the first focus sessions, Luis, the magician comedian from Spain, absolutely the most creative, visual, and funny part. That was one of my highlights.
You're about the seventh person who has said that has been their highlight, yeah. I cannot remember his last name.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to have to. Can you look up the guy's last name who was Luis?
that was on the first
something
bit.
With a P.
Yeah, with a P. Yeah.
While he's looking that up, go ahead. What else?
I actually enjoyed the focus group with intensive training on the quick change artist, just because I know absolutely nothing about that, and I sort of search out something that can be a totally new experience to me. So,
yeah, because that's something out of your realm. I mean, that's not a card thing.
No, that's true. But I was presented with two alternatives. One alternative is seeing beautiful women take off their clothes, and the other alternative, invisible threads, was not being able to see anything because they're invisible. So that was an easy choice.
Well said. Well said. Oh, so here's this guy's name, by the way. Let's see, Delicate. Beauty not, I can't read his name. What, can you read?
Piedradita. Luis. His name was Luis.
Right. Thank you very much. I've got it. So there he is. Piedradita, yes. You know who, those of you who know. So those are both good. I'll tell you, during one of the sessions also, that someone had asked, how many of you guys know Aronson? Well, you know, I raised my hand. I know Simon. And then later, someone said, okay, what comes after this card? It's like, oh, you mean the Aronson stack? No, I don't know that. I just know Simon.
No, Jared did that in that several of his sessions.
Yes, that was
and
it.
And he was out of the sheer power of his super memory, he was reciting off a list of totally random cards, and then would point to people in the audience that he knew could help him, and he said, and you, sir, why don't you continue on?
Yeah. that's funny.
It was very, very amusing when he pointed to me.
And you, sir, whatever your name is. Jenny, yep, Simon's wife. What have you enjoyed? What did you like about the convention so far?
I underscore what Simon said in terms of the costume change. These folks were really enjoying doing the presentation. It went into great detail, and it didn't matter if you'd never sewn anything in your life. You just had to admire the skill. The close-up session as an entirety, I really enjoyed.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, listen, thank you guys very much. And we still got another day to go. And
oh, yeah.
There'll be some more surprises today, I'm sure.
Well, you know, one of the best things that isn't on the schedule is just sessioning with people. Late last night from about 12 to 1, we were sitting on the floor and, with a bunch of guys upstairs, Josh Shea, Matt Baker, and some people, and doing an awful lot of very, very interesting new card tricks. So I am still absolutely encouraged that the future of card magic is in very good hands.
Speaking of card magic, that there was an article in the Chicago paper, something that was about you and...
What we call the Chicago Session. There's a Chicago magazine is a monthly glossy, pretty well known in Chicago. It's sort of the closest thing that Chicago has to a New Yorker. Current events, topics, articles, and some sophisticated articles. And our Chicago Session, that's been meeting in our apartment for now the past 26 years, every Saturday, one of the reporters sat in for a few weeks, decided to get the inside scoop on what magicians do when they're creating, with the promise and caveat that he would not reveal any secrets.
Yeah.
And they brought photographers in and took it out, took a whole lengthy story. So we got about a 7 or 8 page spread with pictures of basically me, John Bannon, David Solomon, and David Finkelstein. Most of the people know the first three. David Finkelstein has been with us since 2009, is a really creative magician in his own right, also a professor of philosophy at the University of Chicago, so I have close ties with him.
Yeah.
And the four of us are featured with some nice graphics and some good pictures, descriptions of tricks we were doing, and even descriptions of a an improvement of a trick in process that Bannon isn't quite sure he likes my suggestion, but by the end of the dialogue, he says, I think you're right. And I, in typical Aronson fashion, says, of course I am.
Now, there are just the four of you, or are there more people that kind of come
or just the
core group?
Dave Solomon and I were loyal members of the Marlowe table since the 1960s.
Yeah.
And when Ed Marlowe died in 1991, we just did not want to give up the tradition. So Dave and I suggested that we just keep it up privately at our home, because we were sort of centrally located. And every Saturday, the Saturdays being in honor of Ed, because that's whenever Ed's table met every Saturday, we just kept doing. John Bannon, who we consider a mere youngster, had at that point just recently come to Chicago, but he had published his book Impossibilia, and he was a really good magician. We invited him, and it was the triumvirate. And, you know, whenever there's a visiting magician in town, certainly they will come to, if they know about it and we mention it or something, we will invite them. But because it's in my home, it's private in the sense that they're not going to find it. They're not at a restaurant where they can stroll in.
Yeah.
But it's been continuing on. David Solomon and I recently, it was just the end of last year, celebrated our 50th year of sessioning together. So that means that we're at least 50 years old.
So when are you gonna be putting out like the session notes or something?
That's probably never going to happen, just because, strangely, all four of us create totally different things. And each of us have our own publishing works in sense, too.
Yeah. So there's some of the ideas that might be in each of those of your books might have been some ideas that you kind of shared with them.
Pretty much anything that's in any of our books or DVDs went through the mill of being tested, improved, trashed, suggested.
Among the group.
That's one nice thing about it's a real testing ground.
Yeah.
The only thing we really don't have as a testing ground is none of us are true professionals out there in in layman land. So we don't really get a chance to test it under those conditions. But other than that, you're just seeing the cream of the crop, and believe me, there's an awful lot of rejects on the cutting room floor.
Well, that's what it's all about, I think, when you're brainstorming. Well, listen, thank you guys very much. I appreciate you giving me your thoughts and insight and a little bit about the session then, too. Thank you, Simon.
We do plan to do it for another 50 years.
Awesome. And we hope to keep learning from you guys for the next 50 years or longer. Okay. From Magic Live, that was Simon Aronson and his wife, Jenny. Scotty out. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we just finished I finished a general session here this morning. A lot of really interesting things, and my friend and yours, who's a Las Vegas resident now, is Bizarro.
Yep. You saw the dress rehearsal for the good one. This general session is very eclectic. It's a very interesting variety of subjects.
Well, the one thing we were talking about, the void, I think that thing is going to be the future, period.
Oh, sure.
You know, the virtual reality, but having the rooms where you kind of go through and you can see things and you actually can feel the walls
right.
And all that stuff. That just blew my mind. That was amazing.
Science! Right, Dino?
Science!
So, your presentation was completely different. I was just talking with a guy next to me. He said, you know, I've heard a lot about Bizarro, but I've never seen him actually perform. He said, I've known him for a long time, but... And I said, well, he should have been in Colon, you know, at the get-together.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
You did an awesome job at the get-together. You know, I thought, I didn't get a chance to congratulate you. I thought it was a very good performance there as well.
You've seen me when I used to suck when I was like 15 and 16.
No, well, we all started somewhere.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, yes, I remember as a high school kid that, you know, you were still using eyeball zombies and stuff, you know.
Oh, I never did an eyeball zombie. I talked about it. I did the multiplying eyeballs. I had a lot of stuff with that. And I'm still using eyeballs where I can. In my show.
I noticed that.
Yes.
It's like, well, of course, kind of calls back to his roots.
Well, also because of my tagline is the optical illusionist, so it's, you know, he might as well, and my logo has an eyeball, so, you know, might as well have an eyeball or two in there.
What were the other couple of high school youth that were working with you back there in Dallas way back
Joe Southwell, who is still active, he's still in Dallas doing some stuff. I just ran into Jake Farmer, who's not so much into magic, but he's out there in Dallas still doing stuff. I ran into these guys randomly, these kids who still exist doing things here
and there.
Well,
there was a guy who was doing a zombie. In fact, he had like a 2-hour video on
That was Jeb Sherrill.
Yes.
He's living up in Portland now.
Okay.
There was
he
also
doing magic still? As far as you know?
Not as much as he used to. Okay. I think he's more trying to focus on his writing now.
And the young lady, Melinda or Mindy, who...
Christy. Yeah, no, Melinda was here.
Yeah, great.
Christy is still in Texas. I keep trying to convince her to move out here. She's still performing. So, But she's gotten into like video editing and stuff, so she wants to do that as a film editor, so that should be fun.
So what are you doing out here?
I'm doing magic. Why else would I be out here?
But do you have a show yet?
We had a show we were doing every Friday called Four Funny Bastards, but that contract is up, so we're looking for a new room.
You still have the other three bastards with you?
This is one of our. This guy next to me, Dino Stats, is one of our replacements.
Dino, how's it going? How you doing?
Good.
He moved out here not too long ago, and he's a street performer out on Fremont Street, as well as a stage performer and stuff.
Okay.
So. And he's helping me, as you saw in the general session.
That was a very funny bit.
Yeah.
I got to be his Monica Lewinsky and jump up from behind the podium.
Yeah, you wondered where you were and where you went back to.
Well, he took a photo, actually. If you go to his Instagram, you'll see a photo of him taking an upskirt shot of me, even though I'm not wearing a skirt, which is for the best, really.
Yes.
Oh, I prefer you not wearing skirts.
So what have you enjoyed about this convention? I mean, just being a part of it here today, but...
I haven't really gotten to do much because during the day, my wife and I have been trying to find a new place to live, so I haven't been getting here till late last night. I haven't gotten to enjoy a lot of the stuff most people get to enjoy because I had to get up stupid early today, like 7. Did you know there's a 7 a.m.? There's like 2 sevens. I didn't know this.
Really?
I forgot since I live in Vegas.
Yes. Well, no. I would never... call anyone think about that, you know, as well.
Some of these guys have normal jobs. Like, we get up early, they can too. Oh, no, we can't. But other than that, I've just been, the dealer's room was always great. The museum last night, did you go through the museum?
Oh, of course.
The museum's
great. I made a video, put it on the blog.
Right. Museum was totally worth going through. I didn't get a chance to see the game show, but I heard that was fun.
It was a lot of fun. You had to have a lot of really in-depth knowledge and spend a lot of time with Magic Magazine to know the answers.
Yeah, well, indeed.
I thought I knew everything, but I don't.
Right. It turns out Kyle Knight's wife knows more than everybody else. She won one of them. And
oh, she did?
Yeah, she beat everybody.
And you know what the prize was?
No.
You got a free subscription to Legacy. In other words, worth $250.
Nice.
The whole shooting match.
Good for her, yeah.
And so they had four of those things, and so they had four winners that they had announced. So, that was a lot of fun over there. Did you see the secret class? The
Cabaret? I did not.
That was awesome.
That's what I heard, but I was either not here or too busy.
Yeah, okay.
So
getting ready back stage. So you're finished after this afternoon. Of course, the whole thing's over after.
Yeah, well, then there's the final party, and everybody gets to, try to recover.
Yeah. If you can. Well, that's going to be what the next year between now and the next one's going to be for us.
In a couple of years,
Well, yeah, they're probably not going to have one next year. Going to take a break a little bit, I would hope.
I would hope Stan is sane enough to do that.
So he's going to try to compete with FISM. It sounds like he's going to be doing one in 18. Of course, that'll be in South Korea, I guess.
Yeah. A little bit of a distance away from here.
So anyhow, I enjoyed your part. Thank you very much for taking part in that. And also that good luck with finding a venue for your show. And if people want to find out about it once it gets going, where can they find you?
You can find me on bizarro.ninja. That's my new website URL. And the show itself is...
That two Z's or two R's?
Two Z's. Two Z's, one R. And thanks for asking, because I had to have them corrected in the general session there.
There's been a lot of funny things about misspelling.
Well, Abbott's really had a good time with it. They threw in like multiple A's and letters and stuff. And
it's like, somewhere.
Yeah, it was weird. Barzaro. I was like, I've been called gazebo before, so it's whatever.
That is funny. Well, good.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much. I'm glad you like it, and we've all enjoyed the show then too. And thank you guys.
Well, thanks for coming in and watching, getting up early and watching it with with the rest of us.
Well, I didn't want to miss anything.
Well, at 2 o'clock, when I told people if you get a chance, come to the 2 o'clock one because it's going to be the better one because we're all fixed all the stuff that we messed up.
Even funnier.
Yeah.
Well, I like what your point of what you were talking about. That is to make sure that you're going to be using your mind and make something practical and reasonable rather than some gimmick prop that's got that was a funny line. I thought, as far as what's this symbol on this crystal tube? Cylinder. Well, it's a tattoo.
Well, my normal lecture has that creativity talk. A lot about creativity. And Stan saw me do my creativity talk at Magic and Meaning, and he's like, "Hey, I want you to do something like that here, but let's make it a little different." And I said, "Different is what I do." So let's cool. And we wrote that. And what I like about it is, it's I like using, for those of you who weren't there, I'm one guy, he's, he comes to my magic shop, and I'm yelling at him, and I'm using him as the avatar for the audience, but at the end, all of it's falling on deaf ears, like it usually does. So.
Yes, it was very funny.
Yeah.
A lot of double entendres there, too. Well, great. Yeah. Thanks again.
No, thank you.
And so we are from Las Vegas and Magic Live. That was Bizarro, and this is Scotty out. All right, Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and I've just finished the afternoon focus sessions and just making a final pass to the dealers because I'll be wrapping up here tonight. Speaking of wrapping up, that I see Mark Mason, who doesn't have a few, four or five people deep in his booth right now because he's wrapping up. How are you doing, Mark?
Yeah, I'm doing really good, Scott. How's things with you? All going well?
Well, it has been a good convention for me because I've seen it from a completely different perspective. So tell me from your perspective. I mean, you're behind the booth here all the time.
Yeah, you know, it's pitching, it's working, right? But it was really good convention, lots of energy in the room, so it was really good. Released a couple of new tricks, so they went really, really well. The people who I spoke to, as in the convention, said it was really strong. They had a good convention.
Yep.
I know some of the sessions were really good, they said, this time, and so that's really good. But from my side, it's pitch, Scott. We got bills to pay.
I understand. Well, that's what you've been doing also. You've been doing a lot of stuff with Penguin, doing their one-day thing. How's that thing going?
Well, that's where I'm heading now. I fly out to Buffalo tomorrow.
Okay.
And do the expo. I really like doing those. One day, 6 hours, really easy.
In and out, yep.
In and out. And then there's one on Sunday in Syracuse. So I'll go to Syracuse and do that. And then I'll fly back to Germany, where I left my wife the other day. Mm-hmm. She's living large, buying shoes, and I'm working, right?
To pay for the shoes.
To pay for the shoes.
There you go. Now, how many times a year does Penguin have that day?
Two a month.
Oh, a month?
Two a month.
Across
different
the country.
City.
Okay.
I can't do all of them, speaking on my personal, because sometimes I'm not here.
Yeah.
They usually have a guest, think the month after, I actually think is Albuquerque and Santa Fe.
Okay, then you'll be involved.
I think after that, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and then I might do the Christmas if I'm available for Christmas. But they're great to do. They're nice. They're really good. We've done a couple
in Houston.
We did one in Houston and one in Dallas. Yeah.
You got
really strong.
Coming up next year? Yeah, I know. I was talking with Brent.
Yeah, really strong.
One of the best.
They were one of the best, yeah. Mm-hmm. Except for them strange Texas people. It was really good.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I heard Chicago was good, too, though.
Chicago, very strong. I know they're going back to Chicago soon.
Well, I hope you come back to Houston sometime.
Yeah, that ain't my decision.
You just go where they tell you.
I just kind of go where they tell me. But Houston really was strong. It
have
was great.
Have you found that is kind of taking the place for the conventions? I mean, you know, we have this four-day convention then now. But from a dealer standpoint, that you kind of start, this is like an exception. I mean, I don't see you like at the
I don't do
IBM
very many
or,
now. I don't do IBM, SAM. I don't do many at all. I'm doing those instead, really. You're right. Yeah, I am. They fill up the space and they occupy my time really well. So it's really good. Yeah. And it only takes 2 days out of your month, right?
Right. And so the rest of the time that you're in
I can
back in Florida, you
can
make stuff.
Tricks, I can perform, I can do whatever I need to do,
and,
right?
And refill your
restock the case, right?
Yes,
go
exactly.
Again. Exactly.
And when you're coming up with your ideas, I mean, you got a lot of things that people are presenting to you or showing you some things. But how many of these things actually are of your own?
I make 72 items, and I think, I might be wrong here, 35 or 37 are my own, or other things I've bought the rights to over the years. I like look for things that fit, you know what I do, fit my type of style and my line. And if I can find that, I'm always, you know, looking for good gimmicks and stuff.
And do you machine your own gimmicks and coins and
machine
stuff?
Gimmicks with Bob Swadlin, the main man, the king of coins.
And Bob's down in Florida also?
Yeah, Bob didn't come here this time. He lives in Florida near me. I work with Bob and he helps me with other projects as well.
Yeah. You just got a ton of things. Now, you said you got two new things that are out right now. What are they, real quickly?
In the Middle and Ink Credible, I've already released. And then I have two that are not released yet. One is called Expectation, and the other one is called Where in the World?
ESP.
Yeah, Expectation, yeah.
Clever, okay.
Yeah, it's a bit too smart for you, right? It's all right, I'll help you.
Thank you. And so, everything new is going to be coming out for Christmas you're kind of fiddling with right now?
Yeah. Christmas trick will be released, and then there'll be three tricks for Blackpool, as always.
Okay.
February, we start again. It's a big circle.
The year goes pretty fast.
Yeah, I'm getting old, unlike you.
Well, I'm surprised your voice is still so strong. I mean,
it's not bad. Well, I'm vocal zoning. It's a special lozenge you can't buy in America.
What are they called?
not a joke, really. Vocal zones. You can't
vocal
just
zone.
I'm vocal
take a picture
zone.
Of that so I can tell people.
And anyone who has a gravelly voice, a lot of singers use them. Mm-hmm. Tom Jones uses them. Rod Stewart, Celine Dion.
They're just lozenges.
But super powerful.
Yeah.
They don't sell them in America. You've got to get them abroad.
Now, do they sell them in the UK or?
They sell them in the UK and Europe. So I normally buy 10 boxes and.
Yep.
So you're right. My for day four, this is good for me.
Yeah.
Normally I can barely speak, but I had a lot of vocal zones this time.
That sounds great.
It numbs your throat a bit. A lot. Some people don't like it.
You take one a day or something, or
yeah,
as
one or
needed.
Two. Yeah. I mean, you can't taste anything. You can't taste the coffee or food, or you have to just say wear off. It's that strong. Really.
That's why the FDA hasn't approved.
There
it
you
here,
go.
I
that's
guess.
Why you can't have them.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Okay.
I could give you a shot in the arm if we rub one of these on. Vocal zones, baby.
Okay,
you'll
great.
Find them online.
Good. Thank you very much for Magic Live. That was Mark Mason. This is Scotty out. Thank
bye.
You.
Bye.
Okay. All right, still in the dealer's room, and I was talking with Mark that up walks Scott Tokar. Hey, Scott.
Hey.
Good to see you.
That's good.
As always.
Good to see you.
Always like to see another Scott.
There you go.
Oh, and there's Scott Humphreys. Humphrey also. Like everybody's come walking by named Scott. So, my question is about the, you were just showing, what was that again? It was called
Vocal Ease.
Vocal Ease. And it's a spray. Kind of
yeah,
a spray
I mean, Mark obviously lives in the UK, so he has access to things that we don't.
Sure.
But as a trade show guy who's on the trade show floor 3-4 days a week,
mm-hmm.
Vocal Ease. You can get it at Amazon.com. Vocal Ease Professional Throat Spray.
EZE.
It's EZE.
Yep.
So if you go to Amazon and you type in Vocal Ease, it's $14 and it's on Amazon yeah. Prime. So.
And you use that and recommend it as a trade show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't use that often.
Yeah.
I mean, really, the secret to keeping your voice well is to constantly be drinking water. That's, I mean, regardless of whether you're in Las Vegas, where you have to probably drink twice as much,
right.
Or if you're in Orlando, you still need to drink tons of water. That's what's going to help your throat.
And contrary to some popular belief, milk is not good. In fact, that for working trade shows, that dairy products is the last thing that you want
to
have.
I don't really care. To be honest with you,
that doesn't cause any mucus or problems. Congestion.
I used to sing when I was younger,
yeah.
And I know that obviously you don't want to have that kind
yeah.
of thing. I don't really care. As a trade show guy, I can stop and swallow. Where you can't do that in
when
a
you're
song,
singing. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that hasn't been a problem. I don't drink a whole lot of milk anyhow, but
mm-hmm.
I just drink lots of water. Always, always, always drink water.
That's good advice. Anytime, but particularly throughout the day. You know, a lot of times I'll see, comedians who will have like I remember Robin Williams, of course, he had several bottles sitting behind him on the stool or something, and, throughout the show, just to kind of cool off, I guess, and to keep your... keep your voice lubricated.
Yeah, well, I mean, in a trade show, my voice is probably the number one tool.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's a real concern.
On the Magic Live, how many of these have you attended?
I've been to everyone except for the very first
very
one.
Very first one?
Yeah.
I was going to say, there are a few of us that have been there.
The only reason I missed the first one is because I didn't know how good it was.
Oh.
And when people came back from the first one and told me how great it was, it's like, oh, I regretted not having gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't missed any. In fact, my son, Lucas, he's a junior at the Magic Castle now. This is his third, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, after the first one, I didn't know that Stan was ever going to do another, because when he first talked about that, I signed up, immediately then, and it was something that he said, I called in a lot of favors, and I felt like that after the first one, I really can't ask all my friends to do this again, but they were apparently coming to him saying, hey, we had such fun, let's do it again. And
absolutely.
So it's like, all right, but
absolutely.
I'm glad he did, and this has been great. And I like the idea also that what he's doing with the Magic Magazine, so he's kind of phasing or fading it out as opposed to having, stop cold turkey.
Yeah,
what do you think about that?
Oh, what? Now, what kind of void is that going to leave? I would think that Genie is happy.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that Vanish Magazine is happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I heard him say that he had 20,000 subscribers in one of the keynotes.
Stan does?
Stan. That's what he said.
Life, okay.
So let's say that he dropped half of those. That's 10,000 magicians out there that suddenly 25 issues from now are not going to have their favorite magazine.
Right.
I still need to read something in the restroom.
Yeah.
And it's so it,
they could do
so
that Vanish and jump your
thinking,
iPad in there.
I was thinking maybe I'd re-up my subscription to Topps or Magic Manuscript, but those are gone too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I like to read Sid Fleischman's column in there. Sid Lorraine's column,
Yeah.
in Topps. Yeah, it was going to miss. Buddy's going to continue on, it sounds like, for a while.
For Magic, with Magic Well, Live. For 25 issues. You can't get them in stores.
Yeah.
You got to subscribe, and he's going to cut them off. I mean, he knows what his print run's going to be. That's
sure.
That's a big problem for publishers. Mm-hmm. What's your print run going to be? So he's got that locked down.
Right.
I would imagine it's gotten pretty hard to do a magazine, you know?
I am sure that it is, and also to try to compete with the digital world, and of course, at a certain age and having had all this experience and everything in the past, it's kind of like, hey,
I'm a lurker online, but I'm in those forums too. I read what's going on.
Yeah.
I just don't like to kind of put myself in crosshairs either, so
no,
I guess I don't really talk a whole lot.
Yeah.
But the nice thing about the magazine is you don't. You know, it's a lot of great information and things. So I'm going to miss it.
I think that we all will. So, speaking of this convention, though, what have you enjoyed about this that you're going to take back and as a memory?
Everything is great at this convention. There's nothing that I don't. I always come back learning tons of things.
Mm-hmm.
This morning's session, I was one of the four or five people that stood up immediately after we had the talk on television magic by the science, the guy that did science.
Yeah, Steve Spangler.
Yes, Steve Spangler, correct. Yes, what a valuable lesson that was, especially because I'm going to be in the Midwest here in just a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be at the Farm Progress trade show in Boone, Iowa, and I know that the local stations want to see stuff.
Yeah.
So they're always doing their morning reports out there on the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be, you know, trying to gain a little bit of press for myself and for DuPont. That's what I'm working for.
Sure.
So, hey, if you're out there in the Midwest and you are looking to come see something really fun, come see me at the Farm Progress Trade Show in the DuPont Pioneer Tent.
I thought what he had also was a good idea as far as the press release. It's not just, hey, here's what's happening and here's a lead story, but also here's what you can say. You know, here's the teaser.
Oh, I thought it was, I took pictures of his slides. Immediately, as soon as they went up, I went, I need that formula.
Yeah.
That was incredibly valuable to me. I mean, that's stuff I'm going to put into practice immediately.
Well, I know that as a podcaster, you need content. You know, that's why I'm talking to people that I do all the time, just need more content. And it's the same way with television and with radio, with newspapers, even digital, that it's content. And it is a moving shark, you know, that's constantly devouring it. I was thinking, for an example, back about when Doug Henning had done the zigzag. It's like, wow, that's fantastic. But the audience was saying, what have you got for me today? What's the next illusion?
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's more so today. Things move so much quicker.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, look back what Houdini was able to take that act, you know, on the road, because the people weren't seeing it except live. They didn't have television. They weren't watching a video or, you know, it wasn't on the movies or whatever. So he could do the same show over and over and over, you know, all around. Whereas now, if you do it once in one big theater, everybody kind of, well, of course, you're here in Vegas. People want to come and see the show. I mean, like Matt King, you can see several times.
Don't forget, though, and this is said several times by people, and you and I know this, that the average person outside the magic community may see three live magicians in their life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and the one that they saw last was, you know, 4, 5, 6, 10 years ago. So, if you're doing Bill and Lemon too, you know, hey, you know, it's not. Not going to hurt too bad. They want to see it.
That's true. You know, every magician out here listening has experienced this or has received the comment saying, "You're the best magician I've ever seen." You know,
wait a second. They say that to me. what do you mean?
There you go.
Hopefully they are. Hopefully
yes,
they are experiencing that. If they're not, then maybe they need to find some more wonders.
But the point is that those people, I think, haven't had a base of comparison, as opposed to hearing different type of singers or orchestras or, you know, whatever it is. There are a variety of other kinds of performing artists out there, but not a magician. So
yeah,
people don't have
yeah,
a basic comparison.
We had a couple of talks earlier in the convention here, and they were discussing being original and not looking like the standard magician, and being a photographer as well, and bringing a lot of, I've done a lot of the photos for the juniors as well as many pros.
Yeah.
I always tell them, even the pros, the guys that you know, grab a deck of cards and show me something with a deck of cards. Show me something with a magic wand. You don't think you want that photo right now?
Yeah.
But I guarantee that in the next 6 months, someone's going to say, I need something that looks a little bit more magical. All right. So, Eric Buss, I see you've got the mirror that you're looking into. That's really a cool shot. But that does not say magician.
Right. Or
the deck
holding
of cards
a fan
does,
of cards
right?
Something.
The deck of cards does, and so we want that shot because it's got to be a bumper to a magic show that we're advertising in, you know, the middle America too.
Right.
So don't be afraid of the stereotype. Don't be afraid of looking like a magician, because if you need to communicate that in a single image or it's in burn it in someone's mind, I want them to know I'm a magician. That's what my art is.
Right.
How can you be a saxophone player holding an automobile jack?
Right.
Right?
Right, exactly. Well, I think also that you need to show the audience perspective. In other words, people enjoying themselves as well, not just you holding a fan of cards, but maybe, you know, you're fanning out and someone's taking it and laughing or
certainly,
something.
Certainly.
Because it's a testimonial, basically.
Totally. If you look at my social media, you'll see that I'm constantly trying to, because I'm advertising through social media,
yeah.
I'm constantly trying to show pieces of my show where it's clear that I'm doing a magic trick and that the audience is enjoying it.
Right.
I don't want to get too clever. If I get too clever, I'm no longer a magician. I'm now Salvador Dali, and
yeah,
that's not making me the money.
That is surreal, man. Okay. Listen, thanks very much for your comment.
Hey,
glad you're liking the show. It's always good to talk
loving
to
you. Loving the
Scott.
Show. Loving the podcast.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Appreciate it. From Magic Live, though, Scott Tokar. This is the other Scotty out. All right, still in the dealer's room, and along with the dealers, we have a lecture table also for several of the people who were in the general presentation or doing some of the other focus groups and whatnot, and performers have some of their wares that they have. But on the cover of a recent Magic magazine is the person I'm speaking to right now, who also was FISM winner, Pyrrhic.
Hi.
How are you?
Nice to meet you.
Hi. It's a pleasure to meet you. I didn't get a chance to talk with you in Italy last year, but I was kind of talking to Stan Allen all along. I was saying, you know, that Pyrrhic is going to be great. I thought, you know, you were great. I saw Hector Malachi. I thought Hector's great. You know, these guys are both going to be good. So I'm so glad that he was able to book you and have you over here for this show for everybody. So what's been your experience?
It's great. Great. I was very excited to be here because, you know, first time in Vegas. So
yeah.
I can put that on my CV now.
Yeah, there
you
go.
Performing in Vegas.
Performed in Vegas.
And
right.
No, the experience was great. The organization is just great, and we've been performing the close-up gala with a bunch of great magicians. So it was.
Have you had a chance to see much other?
No.
Okay. So you really can't comment.
So it's only my only day, and I can enjoy the convention now. So
yeah, since it's over in about another six hours.
Yeah, for me it's a one-day convention. It's pretty short, but.
And then you head back to
Switzerland.
Yeah. Tomorrow or Friday? Or how
tomorrow. Already
okay.
Tomorrow. Yeah,
oh,
because
okay.
I have work to do there.
What do you do while you're there?
I work as an actor and director and magician, so it's 50-50. And,
in live theater or on television?
A little bit of both. Live theater, radio, television, and so... everything that happens with acting.
Tell me about your experience with FISM and leading up to that. I mean, you'd obviously won an award in order to get to FISM, and so then what happened? Tell me kind of your evolution there.
No, well, it's, you know, I've done a lot of competition, even though I hate that.
Yeah.
And I think competition is ridiculous, but it's great for the preparation because it makes you work.
Good point.
So, but then you should stop and not do the competition. But I decided to compete anyway. So no, I already did FISM four times, and then I decided to do it again. But it was an accident because I've been doing almost the same act at Blackpool.
Kind of a comedy thing, similar.
And then a friend of mine told me, well, we could go back to FISM, and I thought he was talking about the competition. So I said, okay, I'll do it one more time. But actually, it was just saying to go to FISM just to enjoy the convention. So it was really a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
And so nothing was ready.
A week
before, it was my first performance in front of an audience was terrible.
And you thought, in a week I'm going to be off for 1600 magicians.
I'm always working, you know, at the last moment. So and then everything was, you know, like a little miracle. Everything was got together, and the audience reaction was great. So it was a wonderful experience. And now I can quit competition now.
Are you going to continue to perform this act all around different places?
Yeah.
Or
okay. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Now you have the act. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, Rick Merrill that. All right, just took a quick pause there because we're still at the table and you're selling, so we sell some notes.
That's I need the money to go back to Switzerland.
That's right.
To pay for tickets.
Oh my goodness, you know, when I was in Italy last year, that we had some time beforehand and went to Switzerland, and it seems like things are much more expensive in Switzerland than they were in Italy.
Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah. The level of living is good, but then everything is more expensive. So
yeah, wow.
But it's
yeah. I think we had some cheese fondue or something, and it was more than I was expecting.
Yeah, it is. But it's good.
It was very good. I have to say. Your experience here has been good. You were talking about, you know, leading up to the competition and everything, and so now that you have the act, you're going to be performing that. So where else do you plan to perform, or what have you got booked, or what are you doing?
For the moment, nothing specific. I will. I have a busy season in Switzerland with theaters. A lot of because sometimes I'm booked just as an actor, which is good because I just have to concentrate on the acting and not everything.
Yeah.
I'm preparing now a new show, a new 1 hour show.
Yeah.
So that'll be in September 17. So that's going to take me a lot of work.
Preparation for that.
And what's great about having this short act is that I can travel with, because with the same character I have a 1 hour show.
Yes.
But it's more difficult to travel because we have a set. It's a theatrical show. Mm-hmm. So we have a set and.
How many people are involved?
No, we are three people, but okay. Still we have So this act is fun to be able to travel with, and, mm-hmm. with the same spirit than the act.
Well, yours is a talking act then also. I mean, it's not just sight gags, but also it's just very funny.
Actually the 1 hour show is a slapstick silent comedy act.
Okay.
So I don't talk.
For 1 hour?
For 1 hour,
oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Which is great.
Yeah, no illusions, just all kind of just...
Yeah, it's very simple, little things. No big illusion. Just situation comedy, Mr. Keaton, Chaplin are my gods. So
very good. Well, listen, I'm not going to keep you any longer because I want you to sell some more over here. Then too, pleasure meeting you. I'm glad I had a chance to
thank you for
chat
the interview.
For some of the people also get to hear about more about you. And so that was Pyrrhic here from Magic Live. This is Scotty out. Okay, another one of the world's famous dealers, one of your favorite dealers, and everybody has purchased a book from H&R Magic Books. Here's the H, Richard Hatch. How you doing, Dick?
Hey, Scott. I'm good. Thanks. Good to see you here.
Good seeing you as well. And so that we were just talking about the dealers and, you know, kind of the hot trick, and you've been behind the booth all the time. So what did you say you heard? What?
Well, in our booth, the hottest thing was the Gene Anderson book. He shipped 100 copies, and we wish he'd shipped more.
No kidding. They were gone today.
Before today. He shipped 10 boxes of 10 books. One box got stuck at the Las Vegas post office and he couldn't retrieve it. So he's taking orders and he'll ship them out. But that was the hottest book at our booth. There are a couple other great books about. Gabe Fahouri's company published the new John Lovick book, and that's going to be excellent. I know there's a new John Bannon book. Richard Kaufman's got two new books out. Those are both going to be great. But in terms of, I haven't made the rounds, but across from us was Fantasma from New York, and at his booth I did see a demo that I liked, which people will remember, the Rupert's Pearls or the Devil's Teardrop, where it's a piece of glass and
you break it,
you can hit it with a hammer, nothing happens, you break the tail and it disintegrates. Well, years ago, Charlie Buckner used to pay a guy $10 a bottle that worked at the Coca-Cola company to steal out an untempered bottle for that same effect.
And they don't drop that anymore. Yeah.
Well, he stopped doing it when the guy got greedy and started selling him bottles that were not doing it. So, you know, in a show, that's kind of, you can't tell the difference. They look exactly the same. So, I have your
hurts good.
We need an interruption.
While we're just good, pause for a minute because Dan Mikowski walked up, and I haven't seen you in a while. Hello, Dan.
Hey, how are you, Scott?
I'm fantastic. So, are you enjoying the convention over here?
Absolutely. You know, it's really a impetus for refreshing your thinking and thinking of things that are classics in new ways. So,
yes, right. What have you enjoyed? What have you learned or seen as far as?
The most exciting thing was Unscheduled. It was a 30-minute almost lecture by Marvin Roy last night in the exhibit where they had many of the rare props on display. He was just going on and on about his career and life and his incredible love for magic, which is so contagious.
Yeah, I wish I would have recorded that. That's
so, I've got fantastic. It. I'll send it to you.
Do you really?
If you'd like, yeah.
I would.
I have a video of it. So.
Okay, yep. Have you posted or will you post that on YouTube or something?
No, I haven't before, but I'll send it to you and allow you the honors.
Well, thank you. I will, because I know a lot of the listeners would like to listen and watch that as well. And I did talk with Marvin yesterday a little bit for about 20 minutes just about some of the stuff, but I'd like to...
He's the inspiration for so many of us in so many ways.
Oh, that's true.
From what I recall, the earliest magician I think I ever saw years ago on the Sullivan Show,
yep.
And it's indelible with Carol appearing in the light bulb.
Right.
And it created so much enthusiasm for so many people who were here.
And he'd been such a mentor or father figure for so many magicians. You know,
I've never met anybody who loves magic with more of a passion. And still to this day.
Passion's the word, certainly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I missed you at Abbott's Get Together. I was thinking, well, Dan's going to be here. You didn't come this year.
I wasn't there this year, but I just hosted a party at my house the day after Colin ended. And so we had a large group of about 50 magicians there.
Yeah, I had left by that time. I otherwise had a lot to have caught that. Well, thank you very much, Dan. Appreciate it. Good
Thanks,
seeing
Scott.
You
Take care.
Over here as well.
You want to start over? Or?
So we're back over here then with Dick Hatch then again, since just good to talk to Dan and kind of get caught up and get some insight on what was happening at the museum there last evening and talking with Marvin Roy. So we were talking about, you said right across me where you saw Roger
Dreher.
So
the H&R booth is across from Roger Dreher, the Phantasma magic company out of New York, right across from, what is it, Grand Central Station, I think? Somewhere right in that downtown area. Anyway, they have imported from, I think Alan Wong makes them in Hong Kong or brought them over and demonstrated it. It's the Rupert's Pearl Devil's Tears science concept, but made, well, they have Coke bottles, they have beer mugs, they have shot glasses, they have an ashtray, and it's all the same thing. Obviously, they don't demonstrate them too often,
yeah, but they're made.
They're clear glass, and they're. I think what happens is the glass hasn't been tempered. I think it's untempered, and there's not a tail to break off. You drop a little. I don't know if it's magnesium. There's some nugget that's like a grain of sand, and when that touches the glass, it shatters.
Wow.
And so as a mentalism thing, you know, they can bang it with the hammer and do whatever and nothing happens, and then on command, boom, it breaks. That was cool. Now, they're not cheap. They're selling the Coke bottles, which is the small size Coke bottle, the classic, I guess, three bottles for $100. But that's actually a real reason. I remember there were ads in the Magic magazines maybe 10, 15 years ago, where, you know, exclusive for mentalists, and I think it was $1,000 and maybe you got 20 bottles or something. I remember Charlie Buckner, who came up with the idea, was upset because no one asked his permission, but what you gonna do? So that was the coolest thing I saw. I got to see one of those explode.
And then you said something about multiplying bottles, you said, or something?
No, I haven't seen multiplying bottles.
No, I thought you said there was some other kind of a bottle. So that was the bottle trick you were
talking about. That was the bottle trick I was talking about, yeah.
Anything else that you've heard that... there are a lot of dealers here.
There are a lot of dealers, and there's good stuff going on. Let me try and think... I guess people are excited about some of the technological stuff.
Promising doing well, yep.
Promista,
always good.
Yeah. Cesar All. Then there's some, you know, like the Audio Ape and just general.
Oh, there's a lot of sound
like
guys.
Right. Yeah, a lot of technical things.
Remote control things and Axtel with all of their stuff and movable.
Right. So the only thing I have personally spent money on is I did go for the Legacy subscription.
Mm-hmm.
Got my Legacy badge.
Yep.
And I did buy one of the Nielsen poster reproductions. I'm interested in Frederick Eugene Powell, and she had a Powell reproduction. I can't afford originals, but very nicely done, so I did pick that up. How about you? What'd you buy?
Well, I was going to say I got Handsome Jack's book, but actually...
That's great.
I am anxious to read that.
I will be getting that. I'll be getting the new Roberto Giobbi stand-up card magic book. I expect that'll be really good. It's not brand new. I mean, it was out a month ago or so. But
okay.
The new Pitt Hartling book, if people are interested in memorized deck work, that's essential. It's just unbelievably good. And he was demoing it in one of the sessions, and... it's only available currently directly from Pitt,
yeah.
But he's got a website, and great way is called In Order to Amaze by Kit Hartling.
One of the things that I did buy was a thing called the Rainbow Card, I believe, or something like that. It's a, it looks like an old Polaroid blank film, basically. And
oh, where you take the picture with the flash?
Yes.
That's awesome. I saw that.
And when you could take it with their camera.
You know, spectator's iPhone.
That's right.
Yeah.
And when they do, then the image of either a card or the location, like the Statue of Liberty, appears, you know, on this piece of film. But it's only visible when it flashes on there. So it still looks like a blank
Very cool. I like that, too.
Yeah. And then also, of course, anything Michael Weber has is awesome. And
he is always great.
He had a Dice.
Did you get that? What
I did get
I saw
that Dice
part of
cup.
A demo with the two little containers and
correct.
Yeah,
it was kind of
fooled me. I
looked like the old
them.
I think thing where you put
the old Slum Magic thing, but
yeah,
taken to the next level.
It does not
right.
do that exactly right.
Right. Right.
Did you see the museum last night?
Yeah, that was excellent. I didn't have much time there. I was going to go meet someone for dinner, so I had like 10 minutes. And at the beginning, I met. Chip Romero and
standing right over there. Yep.
And he had wanted to give me a
tour of the Henning.
The Henning stuff, which was awesome.
Yep.
And that I made a quick zip through the other stuff and wish I'd had more time. It looked outstanding.
I got a video.
Excellent. I'll watch the video.
Too, so, yep. Okay, well,
on the Magic Pod website?
That's right. The awesome. MagicWordPodcast.com.
So I will look for
you guys
that.
Who are listening to this need to go and see that
they do.
As well.
And donate.
All right. That's yes, please. Thank you very much.
Give you a plug.
Well, yeah, you know what I've been doing here?
It's a labor of love.
I have had to pay for the extra. Upload speeds this way that I can.
Oh, yeah, the hotel stuff is just so cheap.
Very,
you want the extra $10 a day.
Yeah.
So you need, you're here for what, 4 days?
Yeah.
You need four donations, $10. It'll cover you.
Yeah, please,
come
somebody out there, send me some cash.
Gotta do it. All right.
Thanks,
great
a lot,
convention,
Dick.
Though, hasn't it?
It has been fantastic.
Outstanding.
Outstanding.
One of the better.
Did you hear
the Magic Live is always great. I think it's one of the. One of the top 10 Magic Lives. No, but I would say one of the top three, probably.
Yeah, I think so. I love the first one. I really like this.
And, of course,
one.
We still got the party. That's always awesome. Great.
Yes, tonight, the farewell party we got coming up. And so, this is, I think this
now,
is
now, here's
it,
the rumor.
Really.
I'll put a rumor out to podcast listeners. The get was, we didn't get a bag this year. We got a closet full of bags. Don't need those.
And a nice shirt.
Sweatshirt,
jacket.
Which, you know, it's August in Las Vegas. You need a sweatshirt. So I think with global warming, here's my prediction. 2 years from now, with the global warming trend for the next Magic Live in August 2018, we'll be getting Legacy Long Johns. That's my prediction. You heard it on the Magic Pod Word Podcast first. Am I right?
Yeah. Legacy
Long Johns.
Okay.
With the logo.
Yeah, on the butt.
Yeah, they said, did you go to the game last night? Was that fun, the trivia?
Yep, with Justin Willman.
I didn't go. Here's my prediction is the grand prize, lifetime subscription to Digital Magic Magazine. Am I right?
You're right.
Okay, close enough.
There were four games, four sessions, and the winner of each session got a... You're right. Lifetime subscription. Basically, they got the legacy.
The last 25.
So in other words, you get $250. Yeah, well, it's non-digital. But you get $250. You know,
that's a good value.
That was pretty good.
For playing a game, sure. I would have gone for that.
Yep. They were tricky questions. Everything had to do with the previous Magic magazines, you know, and they were all multiple choice. A lot of fun. Went very quickly. Justin Willman is a good
thing. And
correct.
Willman's great.
Correct.
I hope everybody's watched it. Have you ever interviewed him?
I have talked to Jay.
He'd be a great interview.
Yeah, he's such a lovely guy.
And he's got that viral video on the PB&J. You should put a link to that on your site. That is so clever. Topical, you know. Deservedly viral.
What
you know
did he
this?
Do?
Oh, you haven't seen this?
No, I haven't.
I don't want to spoil it for your listeners or for you, but if you do a search on, you know, magician destroys transgender bathroom argument or something like that, you'll see it, and it's 2 minutes of your time. Extremely clever. Clever. You'll thank me for it.
I'll look it up and I'll put a link. Yeah. I'll put that on the
website too. That's a perfect presentation for that prop, and I wish I'd thought of it.
But it's too late now.
Okay. Dick, thanks very much. Always
thank
good talking to you, buddy.
Good seeing you,
And for the Magic Word and from Magic Live, that was Dick Hatch. Scotty out. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we just finished the evening show, which was the last show. The next thing is going to be the farewell party, but we were in the 6:30 show, and so the next 800 people are lined up for the next show. And I've got with me a good friend, Peter Samuelson. Hi there, Peter.
Hey, hi there. How are you?
Great. And what did you think of the show?
Oh, this is just a fabulous show. I mean, it's really an incredible lineup of talent.
Yeah, starting off with
Joseph Gabriel. I mean, just wow, and ending with Raymond Crowe at the end with his incredible heartfelt shadows. Just one of my favorite pieces.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah, just all the way through, and Tommy Tan. And, you know. Mark Kornhauser was doing his pieces, and I just went through all the acts, but it was just fabulous.
Yeah, Tom Bergoon, very funny.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, it was good start to finish, a well-structured show. Overall, what'd you think of the convention as far as Magic?
I've really enjoyed myself. There's been really a broad range of materials, and both in terms of the workshops that are there, the presentations during the main sessions have been great as well. So I'm a big fan. I wasn't here in the last one, but several before that, so I'm really glad to be coming back and looking forward to the next one.
Was there something that stands out when you go back home and you're in the plane, you're thinking, you know, I remember this trick, or that somebody did something, or I met somebody at the bar? What is it about the overall thing that, when I say Magic Light 2016, that might come to mind?
Well, I have to say that what it really is for me is it's spending time with friends and having this big conclave of folks that are here, sitting down, being able to watch really good magic and then talk about it.
Yeah.
So to discuss things that are really inspirational, so you're not just looking at magic just to be entertained, but it's really educational in the sense that it kicks off your brain and sort of goes, oh yeah, why didn't I think about that? Or, man, that just gets me to move just this one step further to this. Or just a reminder that this is where I've been going and where I really want to go. And then getting validation. And I will tell you, it's one really nice thing is that I've had a lot of people come up to me and just talk to me about work that I've done before or things that I've written, and it's getting kind of responses. So it's really great to be back out and around and sort of get that energy you get plugged into.
That's true. Sometimes there are the little things. I remember Ken Weber having a little tip, and he was talking about have your volunteer to stand just a little bit to the side of the microphone, because when they turn to talk to you, they'll turn directly
right
into the mic. It's like, that makes perfect sense. You know,
it's one of those things that you get to a certain level where when you're starting out, you don't hear those things. But when you've been doing and working professionally, you look at that and you go, yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I've been needing for that one moment.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And that's a lot of things I think you kind of get here. Plus also hanging out, you know, a lot of conventions are about friends. No more than this one, because you've got 1,600 of your closest friends, you know, here.
You say hello to somebody in the morning on the first day and you don't see them again until the final closing party of the last night. So, you get...
Well, like I haven't had a chance to talk much to you. You know, it seems like...
That's right. Oh, you've been a busy boy.
Oh, I have. As people who have been listening to the podcast, because I've been updating this every day over here. So I want to thank all the listeners for listening, and also for Peter, you know, all the rest of the people who have taken the time to talk to me.
It's really great to be able to see people that you know who are getting up and doing presenting, like Ken Weber, like Julie Yang, like Michael Six Muldoon, who he's been around, came out of New York, and I saw him when he was just beginning, and then I watched him as he went away to the Magicians Without Borders and all that, and the work that he was doing. So it's great to sort of see the progress over the years, how people develop and grow, and what they bring back to things.
That's true. That's true. Well, let's hope we can live another 50 years to enjoy even more advancement over here. Because I think, as far as the future goes, it's going to be that thing, the void, that they showed this afternoon about that virtual reality. Holy cow. Is that cool? Anyhow, thank you, Peter.
My pleasure.
Always good seeing you. For the Magic Live, that was Peter Samuelson, Scotty L. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and that we're still hanging out at the bar, and got Fielding West with me, right? Hey, Fielding, how are you?
Scott, how are you doing, my friend? Last time I talked to you, we talked about Sinatra. Last time I talked to you, we talked about Liberace.
We talked about a lot of things. You know, and one of the things that sticks with me forever, and it was a great tip that you gave me, was about using a metronome, and that way that you know, for your timing, you know.
For public speaking, a metronome set at 80. And what happens is the heartbeat, your heart rate will align itself with that clicking sound. Now, 80 beats a minute allows you to still have enough adrenaline going through your system, but it also, you start to hone in on that particular figure, and your heart will actually beat, and once you've heard it for over a minute, your heart will start to align with it. And it's the right pacing for, I would say, about the majority of public speakers are people that are on stage. Now, we all don't work at the same pace.
Right.
But for a lot of us, unless we're professionals and we're going out every night, our heart rates don't go over 100. I mean, I stand in the wings. I may feel a little excitement, which tells me that I'm still alive.
And that's important
It's very, very important
Johnny
to have...
Johnny Carson used to have it, heard.
To have butterflies, what they call butterflies. Once you feel that in your stomach, you know the adrenaline's working.
And you need to have...
But to an amateur, that starts flop sweat, that starts the the tongue sticking to the roof. I mean, the mouth gets very dry if they're not hydrated properly. But with all this said, 80s, the metronome is the training thing. Whenever I do have a new trick, and I'm working on the dialogue of that particular trick, and I know the pace that I work at when I'm working in front of a live audience,
right,
to rehearse, I put that metronome on and forget about it.
Really? So it just kind of goes in your subconscious? It
goes into your subconscious, and after about 4 or 5 minutes, once you've repeated the material once or twice, you can actually hear the clicking in your own head. You can turn it off, and you'll do it at that pace.
That's amazing.
But you always want to... And also, that keeps you from getting too excited on stage. It centers you.
Right.
It'll center you and your timing. And that's what I call executive timing, and that's what I'm teaching in the private course now. So.
And as far as having the butterflies, at least for me, that whenever I say my first joke or, you know, get your first laugh or applause or whatever, they go away. Okay, I'm in my zone because you know what you're saying.
What you just did? What you just described is the entrance to the stage where your heart rate's going to go up to 100 or better.
Yeah.
You say your first couple of lines, which you have well memorized.
Right.
You don't leave anything to chance. No, you do not go out and leave anything to chance where someone's going to throw a curve at you. You have your opening remarks that sets the tempo of your show, shows them that you're a professional, and once you hear that first laugh, you drop right into that zone. And your heart rate, literally, if you had a heart monitor on, you'd see it go from the high 90s to bang, it'll drop right into the mid 80s, right down to right around 80, 81, 80, between 80 and 84. That's the average guy.
Yeah.
When he's excited, when he's wide awake, and he's talking on stage, that's what we found. And I just put a heart monitor on all my students.
Really?
And that's how I came up with this.
That's how you know? Okay,
yeah.
Interesting. Wow. Well, speaking of health and all that, you're looking awfully fit and fine, and
Thank you.
I like your new look. You dropped how many pounds?
About 40 pounds. I was pushing 230 pounds, and now I'm down to about 190. I was at 180. So I put some of it back on, but the bulk of it, getting control of the way I eat, and we're all slaves to bad habits. I mean, that's just the way we're raised. It was a funny thing. I just watched, we're talking about this, Penn Jillette's on Hawking, his new book, How I Made 110 Pounds Disappear, by Penn of Penn & Teller.
Compared to what he was, he's almost emaciated, it seems.
It does seem that way, but you know what he's done? He's cut his hair.
Yeah.
It's always like that before and after look.
Yeah.
So you know what Penn used to look like, kind of a robust, big guy. But even he'll be the first to tell you, he never felt that he was fat. He never felt that he was overweight.
Yeah.
It was only brought to his attention by his wife.
Really?
Because now he's married and he's got two kids.
Right.
And it's not just about him anymore. It's about he and his family.
And also live for them.
And the older you get, and of course a taller guy, he's 6'7".
Yeah.
A taller guy, tall guys bring on their own health issues.
Yeah.
As opposed to us little short guys that are down here.
Right.
You've got to be 6 foot.
I'm 5'10".
5'10". Yeah. I used to be 5'10". I shrunk.
Well, I was 5'10 and a half. So
yeah, okay.
Going back to what we were talking about last time, I guess, Frank Sinatra, you know, I can't hear enough stories about that. And the fact that someone had sent me an email and saying they enjoyed, of course, the podcast and said, man, you need to talk fielding more often. And I loved what he had to say about Frank Sinatra. And I just talked to Lance Burton, did a great podcast, had 1 hour with him and chatted.
Right.
And I asked him about, you know, Frank Sinatra and Elvis and other stories about, you know, celebrities like Muhammad Ali and whatnot. Anybody I name, he said, oh, yeah, I got a story about this guy or that guy or whatever. Speaking of Muhammad Ali, had you...
I went and did, Lance put me in touch with Reseda, which is one of the twins. Ali's got 8 daughters and 2 sons.
Mm-hmm.
And so they asked me what I would charge them to go to...
Your birthday party?
To Scottsdale, Arizona on the 16th of January of this year, 2016, and do his 74th birthday party. Now, mind you, Ali I was the last performer he ever saw. I was the only non-family member of the 49 people that were at this event.
Okay.
And I was only going to go in and do 20 minutes, and they were so excited to see the response. Now, I couldn't tell that much response because he can't move that much.
Right.
But his eyes, he would open his eyes wider and wider, and they just kept encouraging me, and they said, can you do some more? And I said, I'm just going to pull out all the stops. And so I did about 45 minutes for Ali. and he couldn't have been any happier. And of course, I put the bird on top of his head, and we did photographs. And here I'm standing here with my tiger outfit with the shredded clothes.
Yeah.
It's very funny, but it was an honor to do this. And the family tried to pay me, and I said absolutely not. I said that they picked up, but they did pick up my hotel, and they were very sweet about that. But I said this is a man of my time.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness. I mean, and you talk about an icon.
I remember. See, that's what Lance had said, is that when I asked about Muhammad, he told a story, and then they said they contacted him about doing a party. He said, you know, I don't do shows anymore. I really don't do magic, but I'm going to put you in touch with my buddy Fielding West. Fielding will do it. And so I'm glad to hear the other part of the story.
Well, Ali came to see me at the Magic Castle in 1983 or 84. And at that time, I was doing the substitution trunk trick with my first wife.
Yeah.
And we had a surprise finish in that she wore fishnet hose, a G-string, and a bustier as a costume. And I put her in the bag, in the box, locked it up. I had the tuxedo on, stood on top of the box, raised the drape, and dropped it. Now I'm in the black fishnet hose, G-string, and bustier. And I'd go, wait, that's not it. Then bang, I'd raise it and drop it. She would be there, and she would open up the box, then open up the bag, and I'd be dressed again.
Okay.
And that was our little contribution.
Yeah.
Just for that split second glimpse of a man in a woman's clothes.
Oh.
And my friends used to call me the Rocky Horror Magician.
Oh,
so when I went to the castle, they said, you got to come see this guy because he wears women's clothes.
Yeah.
And so they were piling in to see me. And the only reason that I graduated to the tiger trick was my first wife wanted to leave the act, and comedy clubs were offering me money to come work at comedy clubs, and you can't carry a box up on a stage in a comedy club.
That's true. One thing also, when you're talking about how, you know, you wouldn't take any money, I recall Walter Blaney telling me whenever that he had performed for the astronauts.
Right.
I think it was the Apollo. No, it wasn't the Apollo. The Mercury. Anyhow,
right.
One of the missions. And so afterwards, they contacted him, I guess, and to see if he would come and do something for the engineers and the astronauts and their family. It was very small, maybe about 20 people or so.
Right.
And they said, what can we pay you? And he said, nothing. He said, you guys are my heroes. He said, you guys have been to the moon, you know, and back. And you have done things that there's no way you could pay me.
I cannot describe to you in any other words, that's exactly what was my feeling.
Yeah.
And yet, I will tell you this, his wife came to me and gave me an envelope, and I said, I don't want to look in here. And
yeah.
I got home, and there was a considerable check there for me for making the effort to come over there.
Well, so Walter's got a picture of the astronauts, you know, all of them that had signed it, and one of them who was on the moon said, Walter, this is real magic. Because what he said was, don't pay me, just give me, you know, a picture of you guys.
Amen.
That he signed, and he's got that on his wall. It's just, but yeah, this picture, I want you to send this to me, and I'll post it on the website. So this is a picture of you and Muhammad Ali.
There's me, and this is January 16th of this year. This is at Ali's 74th birthday party. And you see, he's wrapped here, and it was very difficult for him to move. All these attendants around him, surrounded by the entire family, all the daughters. And you got to remember that he had kids out the gazoo. I mean, there was 49 his grandkids and great grandkids.
Well, at least he had names. George Foreman, you know, calling all the
everybody
kids George.
And I'm telling you never saw a more beautiful family.
Yeah.
And I got great shots with Layla. I'll send you the boxer, the one that became the boxer too. So they were all just a wonderful family, and they took me in. They treated me like family. So I was, when I finished that show, I had to pack up all my stuff. I had put all my stuff in the car, but I literally had tears in my eyes because I just couldn't believe what I just got through doing. What an
amazing
experience.
Show that you'll remember the rest of your life.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Fielding, we can talk for another hour. Maybe we will next time we talk.
Thank you, my
so
friend.
So for now,
I love you.
Magic Live. That was Fielding West. Scotty out. All right, Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. And for the last few days, we have had everybody who I've been asking people what have been your favorite, what's been your favorite thing for the Magic Live. They've been saying it's Luis, whatever that guy's name is. And I could never pronounce the name right, but I finally got him right here. Luis, tell your last name properly.
Yeah, I will do it for you. Luis Piedraita.
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 Got it. Luis.
Piedraita.
It's Piedraita.
No. Piedraita.
Piedrita.
Piedrita.
He did it perfectly.
Piedrita. Okay, I think I've got it. Let me just say that everyone has really been saying
Let
that
me tell you if you got it.
Piedrita.
That's
not P, but B.
No, no, it's with
it's
P.
A P.
P.
P. Piedrita.
Piedrita. That's Piedrita. Yes.
I live in Houston, Texas, so there are a lot of people, Spanish-speaking people who are there. I've had 3 years of Spanish, but that was in high school, so I'm a little bit older now.
You
so
can say Piedrita.
Piedrita, but that's
Piedrita, it's okay.
Okay. I've got it now, so I won't forget, Luis. Thank you very much. I will, exactly.
I will teach to everybody how to pronounce. Please put your mouth like this. P, 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 then E, pie, piedra, piedra,
piedra,
piedra,
piedra, I,
piedra, I, piedra,
I, piedra, I, piedra,
I, and that's
I got it, piedra,
you
ita.
Got it,
piedra, I,
it's
ita.
Not so difficult.
Not so hard, not so difficult.
And that's the magic lesson for today.
But your thing, I obviously that have not followed your television show over in the U.S. over here, but I understand that it was very popular, and also for 7 years, and the fact that you had completely done away with that, and then you started doing something else that had to do with just visual illusions and everything, mm-hmm. and then saying that, okay, well, you get kind of a choice of how, you know, how we actually did this, and they get to kind of guess. Brilliant. That was just a different
Thank
way
you.
Of taking it in a completely different direction. Why would you do that? I mean, did they say after 7 years, okay, try something different, or was it just your own creativity you wanted to try
something?
It wasn't
myself. You know, being doing magic live for 7 years with, you know, live with no do-overs, retakes, or second chances. Whatever you do on the anthill, it's going to be seen by 4 million people.
Mm-hmm.
That's stressful because
every week
it's very every week
mm-hmm.
and I did the magic I did was little, you know, was not easy magic with handling and that was stressful for me, but you know that's what I feel I should I would like to do. I like to do.
But not only that, the way that you interacted with celebrities like mm-hmm. Tom Cruise and whoever else who came on to the show, that it seems so natural, at least the pieces that they were showing for us, it seems so natural, and it's like, hey, you're just a great, I mean, the way that you seem to be such a good host as well as doing the magic, the way you integrated everything so perfectly. Is that something that did you talk to the people beforehand? Or
No. I met them. I
for
met
the
them
first
live.
Time right
yes,
there, live.
Yes, I got there, and it's the only way. I go so focused on the magic that I have no time to get nervous. I have no time, and I have no the chance. I am so focused on the magic. So here is this guy. Who's that guy? Oh, Tom Cruise. Okay. Or here's this gay lady. Who's Cameron Diaz or Gwyneth Paltrow or whatever. And
it's just another person.
It's just another person.
It doesn't matter. It's another volunteer for the magic.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. You can, if you want to see the videos, the best way is going to my website. That is Luis Piedrahita. Now everybody knows how to say it.
If they Luis, spell it.
Luis Piedrahita. You can spell it for me because the letters are already L-U-I-S.
P as in Peter. I-E-D-R-A-I.
H?
H-O, yeah, sorry. D-R-H-I-T-A.
Exactly.
Piedrahita.com. Yeah, .com.
.com. And there you will see, there is a lot of contents, but you have to go where you read magia. That magia, that means magic.
Magic, that
and,
I got.
And then, and then you go through all the videos.
Tell me, whenever that you had celebrities in from all over the world, what are a couple of stories? I mean, what about people you've met that have been maybe difficult to work with, or friends that's like, hey, they really like magic or didn't like magic? Have you had anything that you can...
I remember amazing guy. Tom Cruise was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Peter
why,
Coyote.
Why was he amazing? Was it just because
he
liked magic?
He was like a child. He
oh,
was,
it's like everything was like, wow, that's cool.
Was,
or?
He want, you know, not like, oh, that's cool. That's not a child.
Oh,
a child
okay.
is like, it's feeling and enjoying. And
you can see in his eyes the way he...
Yes, and wanting to believe. And he was he was a guy who wants to play.
Yeah.
A guy who wants to enjoy.
Uh-huh.
And Peter Coyote was a very clever guy, very interesting.
Who is that?
Peter Coyote.
Peter Coyote.
How do you know?
Nope.
That's Peter. Yeah, you have to know. It's a great actor. He made
Which country is he from?
He's from America.
Peter Coyote.
Yes, maybe you pronounce. I'm doing bad pronunciation.
Well,
he's the guy on Polanski movie. Bodas de Hiel. That's
I know Roman Polanski, but I don't.
You know the.
What's the movie? What's the name?
Bodas de Hiel.
He's a character actor. I recognize him.
He's in Polanski Bodas de Hiel. He's in.
E.T.
Okay. E.T. He's in E.T. The bad guy, you know. You've seen always his keys. His keys.
He's
the guy who's looking
like
for.
You say he's a character actor. Yes, I got what you're saying.
He's in The Mask. I think he's the bad guy in The Mask.
It's a great actor, and this guy was amazing.
How was he? What did
he was. I remember we did something nice in the Ant Hill. We took.
By the way, the Ant Hill is the name of the TV show.
Yeah. We took a picture of the hand, the palm of the hand, without the finger, only this and this of all the stuff in the show.
Okay.
And a picture of Peter Coyote's hand.
Okay.
And there is a say in Spain that is, I know this place as the palm of my hand. I don't know if you have that.
We know this like the back of our hand.
We do it with the palm. Okay. So, if I show you 6 palms of your hand, it's impossible for you to recognize yours. It's impossible.
Because the palms all look the same, pretty much.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, all the people in the Ant Hill did it and say, that's my, and nobody
knew their own.
Got it. And it was
interesting.
It was a second for him.
What made you think of that?
Sorry?
What made you think of that idea? That is.
No, we made it in the show, but it was very funny.
Okay.
And we take pictures of the hands, and we take one of Peter Coyote and ask, which one do you think is the palm of your hand? And he said, this one. And he nailed it. That was wow for everybody.
Well, I do too. Right there.
That only happened twice in the Ant Hill. One with Peter Coyote, the other one with Jesus Christ. I don't know why he found a hole and said, that's the palm of my hand. It happened there.
Mark.
And Peter Coyote, Justin Bieber was a difficult guy, but it's okay. Because in the middle of the effect, just in the moment before the big climax, he was surprised and he went jumping and dancing and it was, no, wait, because you have to wait for the big climax. And he went to dance and sing.
He wanted
and he was there at the table saying, no, don't move the camera, don't move the camera. And then he came back again and I saw him the big climax. But Justin Bieber was a difficult one, but all of them are really nice. Justin
Timberlake
was amazing.
He seems like a nice guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that Garfield. You say Garfield, the guy who
Andrew Garfield,
the guy who played the Spider-Man.
I
gave him some scissors to cut something. And he, I don't know why, he got scared. He made something like this.
Okay.
I would tell him, hey, you are a Spider-Man. You cannot be scared of.
He's got spider senses.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's funny. Well, cool. It's nice talking with you. We're getting ready to move into the party.
Sorry for my English.
Sorry for my Spanish and not being able to pronounce your name properly over here then, too. Did you study much with Juan Tamariza?
Of course. Everybody in Spain study magic with this genius.
I love him. I've spent some time with him myself.
Amazing guy.
Be sure and tell him hello for me. So it's good. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Luis.
Thank you.
So from Magic Life, that was Andrew Padrajita.
You can go into my website and see the videos if you want. You can see Justin Timberlake's. And you can see, I don't know if Justin Timberlake's is in my website. I think so.
Well, that was on that little clip that you showed that the other morning.
Yeah, that was in my reel. But in my website, there are like 30 or 40, but there are not all of them because all of them are more than 200.
Yes.
And there are only like 50 in my website.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm not sure if Justin Bieber's or not. The one with Justin Timberlake is, and the one with Gwyneth Paltrow, I think it is, and the Peter Coyote one, it is too.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time. It's been a pleasure getting a chat with you. Very much. That was Luis Padrajita. This is Scotty L. can start a little bit late, but we are now announcing the people who have been on the covers of all of the magazines from the past 25 years who are here, and they're taking their pictures. Hope you can hear this in the background, but start off with Lance Burton, Matt King, Rudy Kobe.
Mr. Marvin Roy. Jonathan Levitt. Mr. Norm Nielsen. John Hirakawa.
Well, Scott Wells from the Magic Word Podcast, and we just finished the party, and we stepped into the servants' quarters, so it's a little bit quieter because there's still a lot of mayhem going out there, and I wanted to do a wrap with the organizer, Stan Allen. Congratulations on the 25th. This was fantastic, a lot of fun, great party.
Thank you very much. I think I'm losing my voice already.
You are losing your voice.
Yeah,
over
I was
there.
Screaming names out there. And 70 plus.
I was about to say you had 300 covers, and I thought I know they're not three because there are a lot of.
There's a lot of photographs covers. And duplicates and everything else. Somebody told me the number. I think it's something around half. About 150, 170 different magicians.
Wow. And there were, what did you say here, about 70?
I think 75.
Okay.
On stage.
Now, I was talking to Mac the other day, and he said, I think I may have the most covers. Do you know how many had the most? And Mac said, I think I had three. I was on three. Do you know?
Mac, I don't know what Mac was on, quite honestly. I think David Copperfield holds the record.
That's what he said.
Soul
I think David
covers. We differentiate between a soul cover versus an ensemble cover
yeah.
of
well,
everybody in the year.
Yeah, because Max, I had a couple of ensemble.
Yeah, Max's been
covers.
On yeah. ensemble stuff
yeah,
before.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. And so, David had his own over there. Well, anyhow, great convention, a lot of fun. I know that you want to take like a few months to kind of unwind.
And we're not going to because we're going right into Legacy.
That's right. So when's the first issue of Legacy going to be
released? The first issue of Legacy, which is 25 additional magazines, special magazines, and the end
it's special. It's not going to be like the old, the current Magic
magazine.
It's
going to feel familiar but different all at the same time.
Perfect bound.
It'll be perfect bound. It's going to have a lot of differences that I can't really go into yet. We've got it on the boards. We've been working on it for a couple months, but now the next two and a half months, I guess 2 months. No, we have 3 months.
Yeah.
Anyway, November, middle of November it comes out, the very first issue, and then it'll all wrap by August of 2018, so we have 22 months to do 25 issues. So we're not on a monthly, we're on kind
just
of chaotic. Whenever,
kind of a thing.
There might one come, might actually come in a week, might yeah. be 3 weeks or whatever.
Now what about advertising? I was talking with an advertiser mm-hmm. when I was in Colon who was saying that, I called. They said, hey, we weren't accepting any ads.
Well, we didn't have magazines, so we couldn't say we didn't have magazines. So we just said we had no advertising available in September and October.
So now what do you do with those who want to advertise? What do they do or say or who do they contact?
They should contact Advertising
like
Magic
usual.
Magazine as usual. However, we're going to have a little less advertising, and we're going to be very selective about our advertising mm-hmm. because we have a certain vision in mind for this whole thing.
Something
much,
is going to be...
Thank you kindly, buddy.
You got to get some refreshment here.
Yeah.
You got to wet your whistle. There you go. Yeah, as you said, you've been talking for a long time over here and introducing all the names and everything and saying hello. And oh, my gosh. You know, I cannot imagine everything that's been happening. So this has just been a phenomenal convention. I've been posting. I haven't had much sleep like you, I'm sure. You know, putting all these things together and the videos and whatnot. The museum was phenomenal last night.
Oh, Lynetta Welch put our museum together for us with a lot of help.
Yes.
And through the generosity of people like, number one, David Copperfield was very helpful and generous, mm-hmm. and Chris Kenner and the Blackstones.
Penn and Teller.
And I mean, lots
Chip
of
Romero
people.
Had his Doug Henning. It was amazing.
Yep.
Yeah, and
we
Ron
had
Nielsen,
tons of stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, many of those exhibits had multiple contributors in there, and we'll be thanking them all.
One of the things I thought was kind of cool also was how Fabrini was actually doing a painting. Live.
Yes, he was.
Right then, and I actually went through and I recorded part of this when he was partway through, and I got at the end when he was finished or within an hour of having it done. So you can see on the video.
I don't understand it, but people like to do things for us, and when we ask them crazy things like that, they don't say, are you out of your mind? They say, let me think about it, and then they come back for some reason and say yes.
You know,
so
Sam,
we wanted him to paint. He painted our 300th cover. He's a fantastic artist.
Yeah,
and so he was there doing that for us. And Marvin Roy and Norm Nielsen were there in their display of living legends. Uh-huh. And it was just fun.
Whenever that I have talked to people about how many of these you have attended, and there are so many people said, I've been to all but the first. And the reason was that after they heard about how good the first one was, they're not going to miss another one. And I believe this is the seventh. Am I correct?
Eighth.
The past 3 days, I've told everyone it's the seventh. So this is the eighth.
The eighth one.
Okay. And after the first one, I remember talking with you, and you'd said, I don't know that I'm going to do this again because it seems like I've asked all my favors from friends, and how can I do that again? But people came back to you and said, I had such a good time. Let's do this again. And so one thing kind of led to another.
Well, I had said we were never going to do one again. It was the one and only, never to be repeated.
Exactly.
And then people started making up rationale, like, well, no, of course not. It's not the same one. This is a reunion.
Hmm.
This is a second thing or whatever.
Good point.
And so, yeah, and once you get doing some of these, you kind of get hooked. Our team gets hooked.
So after 25 issues, that's not the end of Magic Live.
It isn't. I'll continue to produce Magic Lives.
So conventions will continue on?
Conventions will continue on.
Are you looking at having another one not until 18?
We're not going to have 2018.
Not going to have one next year, though.
No. And the 25 issues, the legacy issues, will all be tied together at the 2018 Magic Live.
Okay. Which it will be in August? Or
It'll be very earlier. It'll have to be earlier August.
Because I was thinking FISM is going to be like in August of 18. Is that right?
Is it August or July? I don't really know.
Maybe July, you're right.
But we're going to be... dates have not been finalized
fluid.
Yet.
Yeah. At best. All right.
So we'll see you there?
Yes, I will definitely be there.
Okay.
I have loved the ride that I've had, you know, with you for so long. And
you've been to all of them?
I went the first, third, fifth, sixth, and seventh.
Okay.
And now this one. So I've only missed a couple. But
all right.
I don't want to miss any more. And I appreciate your friendship and everything that you've done for the Magic community. And you were honored this year, I know, at the SIM convention. And appropriately so. I guess that was a marvelous thing for you.
Well, it was a very sweet thing for them to do. You don't really think about that kind of stuff. You know, mm-hmm. I'm sort of a behind the scenes kind of guy, and then suddenly you're at a convention where your picture is all over everything, and they're asking you questions like, "How did you get here?" I took a plane. I don't know. You know, what can I say? But it was very nice of them, and I've always had a wonderful working relationship with the Society of American Magicians.
You're a humble guy, and you're worthy of every and thing that you have received and more. So
now I just have to learn a good double lift, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you got a good rabbit working for you, a steward.
Right.
You know,
that is
great.
That.
Listen, Stan, thank you so very much again
sure
for
thing.
Putting on a good party
you,
and got a good magazine for the last 25 years. I want to shake your hand
now,
over here.
Better, even better for the next 25
and
months.
And for the next 25 months, that's right.
Issues.
So from Magic Live, that was Stan Allen. You know what this is? Scotty out.